Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Vague and Unconvincing, a pop culture podcast. I'm your host, Wim, and thank you again for joining me. In this episode, I'm going to get a little deep on things, so be prepared for that. I want to glean over some Infinity War stuff, some Deadpool, and some Solo, and some other things I want to get into. Just to kind of go forward with it. So I might get a little deep on it. I apologize for that. Usually I try to keep it light and stuff like that, but I'm going to go to a few different areas. But I wanted to start off a couple weeks ago. I'm watching a playoff hockey game like usual, and commercial start, and I recognize the voice, so I kind of rewind the commercial and play it again. I'm thinking, boy, that sounds a lot like Mark Hamill. So I whip out my phone and do a kind of crude video, and I post it on Twitter, and I tag Mark, and I say, is this you, or is this somebody trying to just sound like you? And he actually replied back that it's him. So my Twitter blew up, You know how you can look at the stats? Well, usually my 320 followers, it's not that huge, but for this particular tweet, I had some 550,000 tweet views, and the video of me recording his voice or his voiceover was viewed over 17,000 times. So I only got a few new followers, but not as many to expect from that number. But so I was Twitter famous for a second. The first thing I wanted to talk about was the kind of Twitter controversy that's been brewing over the last week or so. I'll keep it short because I'm kind of sick of hearing about it too, so I'm sure you are too. I'll give you the gist though. Kelly Marie Tran, aka Rose, from The Last Jedi, left Instagram because she was getting harassed and kind of bullied online. Now, I can understand criticisms of her work. Not that I agree with them, but you are free to have them. I can understand that if you want to criticize the movie. But, if you want to argue the merits of her character, do so. There's no need to personally attack her. That's kind of garbage. She's a bright, bubbly individual, and she certainly does not deserve the venom that she got. So, in response to her treatment and the relentless abuse he's been taking for his novelizations of Aftermath, Chuck Wendig goes on a Twitter tirade about toxic fans and the portion of the fandom that is responsible. Now, I agree with what Chuck is saying. Unfortunately, it's Chuck that's saying it. I don't know a ton of people that go to cons or celebration and get their book signed, but I heard from at least three different people at three different times at two different events that he was just awful to everybody. So when you are that guy, you kind of lose the right, in my eyes, for your argument to be taken seriously and be listened to on a serious tone to it, that you need to stop, not coming from Chuck. There was a portion of the fandom that kind of wants him dealt with by Lucasfilm for being the jerk that he is, and the fact that he's in that Star Wars circle. Now, I personally don't believe he is. He kind of wrote three books, which about half the fans I've interacted with don't like at all, and that's where he's done. He's really not an employee of Lucasfilm at all. He shouldn't be held to those standards that they would. Now, certainly if there were a point where they would intervene, if he was, say, involved in the Me Too campaign, if there was something with that, Lucasfilm's going to step in and handle that, if that's the case. But all they really did was tell off some butthurt fanboys. So, if somebody like Timothy Zahn had said what Chuck said, probably would have retweeted it, but he didn't. The jerk did, and he's not Timothy Zahn. So I will promptly file what he said and into the garbage. And, it's kind of like the equivalent of, like, Roseanne making statements on how you shouldn't be a racist, type of thing. I suggest you make up your own mind. Unlike other people, I'm not here to tell you what to think. Don't pick a side. Think for yourself. Don't get caught up in two pieces of the fandom fighting against each other and just, you know, do the right thing. You know what to do. You guys are good. You're listening to me. You gotta know what's going on. So I don't want to waste any more time, you know, thinking about it. So feel free to argue and critique the merits of a story or characters in a civil way. But, you know, if you go online and you send horrible messages to Kelly Marie Tran for a character in The Last Jedi, then, you know, you're a loser. You know, so there's something wrong with you. You got more problems than seeing a Star Wars movie. So, you know, that's all I'm going to talk about that. Another deep subject I kind of wanted to get into was Anthony Bourdain. Now, I like cooking shows. I'm a huge fan of Iron Chef and all that stuff. I wasn't much of a fan of his. He just seemed a little too arrogant to me, so I never really watched his show. But before, let me lay down some groundwork first. You know, in 1991, my father passed away quite suddenly. I was only 19 years old. This was in March of 91. In August, my uncle, my mother's sister's husband, took his own life. It severely affected me. My aunt, his wife, was leaving him, and everything kind of around him was falling apart, or at least the pieces that he could see. Everything seemed to be just crashing down on him. I remember seeing him a few days before and thinking to myself, nah, he wouldn't do that. Well, you know, he did it. I'm not going to lie. I was pissed. 4 months earlier, my dad wanted to live, didn't. And, you know, he basically gave up when his life went a little south and kind of left everyone behind to deal with the aftermath. So there's kind of like two points I wanted to make on that. First, you know, you have so much to live for. Twice cancer almost took my life in the past 2 years, you know, and in the past year since that happened, I found so much to live for, so much I wanted to see, so much I wanted to do. If you're ever depressed, contact me. Twitter, Facebook. I always have my phone on me. I will get back to you immediately if you ever want to talk and you want to see what it means to facing that and seeing death right in front of you and then going forward and fighting against it. That's one thing that I could help you with. Because. I'll talk to you, I'll listen to you, I'll feel your pain too, life's not easy, it's not, and, sometimes you just need somebody to kind of buddy up with you and let you know that, sometimes it does suck. I look back on my high school years were horrible, there's so much to live for. I'm thankful, I met my wife, I did so much, and I'm thankful for that. And hopefully, I can. If you ever need to talk about it, you ever need to do any discussion about it, then certainly hit me up. I'm always willing to go and talk. Just don't do it, because somebody out there on the fringes is someone like me who will feel responsible for the rest of their life that they didn't at least get a chance to talk to you, and tell you how they really feel and the important things in life that are besides the little things that are crashing down around you. Even to this day, some 30 years later, I still feel responsible that I didn't get those few minutes to talk to him and let him know how I feel. I know my brother feels the same way, and we could have stopped it. We could have told him, screw it, there's more to life than that. You've got so much, now that his daughter has grandchildren, it's like, he never saw his grandkids, he never saw any of that, there's so much so deeper in the future that you're not even thinking about that'll affect you, when his daughter, when my cousin had children, that's what I was thinking the whole time. It's like, my uncle's not here to see this, you know? He'd been the best granddad to them that I know of, you know? At least give me a chance, you know, how important you are and how important life is. And it's not in some wacky religious way. It's this guy who had to deal with this before, who kind of can help you through it and help you through things and, you know, see what the future holds for you. The second part that I wanted to do is, don't demonize people who are angry after somebody commits suicide, because I've been on that side. I was mad. You know, my father had died. He didn't want to die. And, you know, you don't know what those people are going through. And taking it from my standpoint, that's what they had to deal with. That's why they're angry. You know, they got left behind to deal with this and pick up the pieces. Some of them, not all of them, maybe some of them have religious reasons or whatnot, and certainly you can criticize that if you like to. I'm not going to argue with that, but, you know, when I see somebody angry about suicide, I flash back to me as in he kicked me square in the nuts, too. So if you ever need help, please, I implore you, come at me, bro. Let's hug it out. You know, don't do it, please. I can't live with it either. I can't live with the fact that, you know, I could have maybe done something. So, please. Now we're off that subject. How about we talk about some cool stuff, right? You know, it's been a while, so I just wanted to go over a few things since my last episode. They're kind of non-jerk related. We're not talking Chuck Wendig. But I saw Infinity Wars in the drive-in and again in the theater, and after I was able to leave the house, you know, I got to go see it in the theater. Just, you know, a few thoughts about it. Main character in the movie was Thanos, and because you know who everybody else is. Now, I like the movie. Saw it twice. So that could give you any indication. But, you know, the emotional part at the end, spoilers, when everybody dies, you know, half the people dies after he snaps his fingers. You know, I just didn't buy into it. It didn't affect me. I don't think that it's real. So you're telling me they killed off the entire Guardians of the Galaxy crew except for one, and Black Panther is dead? You know, no, I don't think so. No way. I don't buy it. The only two that maybe, you know, maybe Vision and Loki, and, you know, what's supposed to be the pivotal emotional piece of the movie, the climax, basically. And, you know, I'm just like, yeah, this ain't happening. They're all in the Infinity Stone or whatever, you know. So, you know, they have Thanos talking with a young Gamora. So, you know, I'm just not buying that part of it. Other than that, it was good. I was entertained. You know, I didn't get over too... It didn't get over-the-top humorous feel like I did with Thor, where they kind of ruined it on that, where they're trying too hard to be like Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, it stood well on its own. And, you know, we learned motivations of Thanos and everything. And I like his story better than the one in the comics also, where he was kind of like doing everything to impress Death. You know, it seemed more realistic this way. You know, the remaining heroes left are mostly the original ones, which is kind of setting up who is, in a realistic sense, not going to make it or not going to survive, though. Good story, though. And, you know, anybody else weirded out with Thanos' CGI look? Just me, I guess, maybe. DC took a beating for the look in Justice League, but, you know, Infinity Wars gets a pass. Anyone? No? Nice? Okay, well, following Infinity Wars was Deadpool 2, and Ryan Reynolds is back, and he is perfect as his role again, and he, you know, he really holds it together. I laughed, it was funny, it was 100% what I expected. You know, my favorite line was when he looked at Cable and said, "Zip it, Thanos!" That was the best one. You know, it's not a hard formula to screw up, so I do like the original a little bit better, but, you know, jumping timelines all over the place kind of thing. It's usually a sign of, you know, script doctoring. But, you know, so far, Deadpool has always held it together in the two movies to do that. It'll be interesting to see if they do a movie of X-Force. You know, that'd be really cool to see. hasn't jumped the shark yet, so they'll keep it going, I'm sure. And then there was Solo. I'll sum it up as simply that it's not my favorite Star Wars movie, but it's not bad. You know, it's kind of somewhere in the middle in there. It's what I expected. You miss Chewie, gets Falcon. Now, just some spoilers, although if you're listening to this podcast, I would assume that you've already seen it multiple times. So just, you know, start out with the bad points there. I will say, and it's really just me nitpicking too. It's a Star Wars movie. I'm gonna take it, you know, take a lot for me to dislike it. It's, you know, it's like a whole lot for me to hate it. So, you know, keep that in mind. Just a couple of points. So I think Carilla, I didn't think Carilla was going to be such a dump. You know, it seemed to me like it's an industrialized town. Everybody's got a job building, you know, starships. Why, you know, why is it such a dump? What's going on here? You know, so, you know, in my headcanon, it was kind of like, should be nice. People should have money. Instead, it's like the space equivalent of Flint, Michigan, you know, type of thing. The other problem I have is that I think Ansel Elgort would have made a better Han Solo. When I watch Baby Driver, you know, I know he's got the kind of like the Millennium Falcon type of jacket on type of thing, but I got more of a vibe from him than I did at any point in that movie from Alden. You know, not that he did a bad job. I mean, he just didn't mimic Harrison Ford. I guess that's what I want. You know, so to me, you know, they're just not the same guy. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're the same character. He's not blending into me to what Harrison Ford did in A New Hope. So, you know, that's my gripe with it. But certainly, unlike Lando, which I totally got the feel of Billy Dee Williams from Donald Glover. I mean, he nailed it, you know. I certainly hope he gets his own movie at some point. You know, I wasn't rolling my eyes at the droid rights thing either. I kind of thought that was funny. The story was good. You know, that storyline, you know, it's not like they were trying to push a droid's right agenda on us. So, you know, you don't have to get upset about that. I kind of thought it was funny. If anything, it's mocking that stuff by having a droid talk about droid rights. But, you know, the story was good. It hit all the points it needed to hit. I love the fact that they got rid of that stupid life debt. Now, I've always argued that I hated that storyline. It's just like more, why couldn't they just be friends, you know, and they work together, they get each other, you know, they hang out. It's not like he owes him something. I never got that from Chewbacca, that he owed him anything. It was just like, they're buds, they're work buddies, you know, and they work on their own. So, I like that storyline way better than that stupid life, that thing. And, you know, I like the fact that Han shot first. And, you know, it's like the way he should. You know, he's a scoundrel. That's the way it should be. I like that Kira's character. It was just amazing. And how cool was it when Maul came back? And, you know, if you remember Michael from the last episode, he digs the cartoons, animated shows. And when I saw it with him, he was on fire, you know, and you know, that was his thing, that they had crossed, you know, the animated series into the movies. So, and except for one point, I know he said to me, he goes, well, Crimson Dawn, what the hell happened to Black Sun? And I'm like, Crimson, Black, Dawn, Sun. And then it was like that little Beavis and Butthead cartoon when the little weak light bulb blows up. And the look on his face was the same. It was, you know, I wonder how they would transition those two groups together if they do at some point Black Sun come together. One of my favorite characters from the old EU was Zizor, I believe is how you say his name. I'd love to see him and make his leap into the story timeline. He's a character I love to see show up. He's one of my favorites, right behind Thrawn. I like Mara Jade. I like to see her get worked back into the, you know, mean redheads. Certainly, you know, I'd like to see them working in there. I mean, really, I'm like salivating right now, and you don't understand that chemo and radiation like destroyed my salivary glands. So, you know, that for me is a really big deal. But I digress. I hope to continue with this type of story. They kind of did leave it a bit of a hang there with Kira as she flies away and goes to Dathomir. Maybe animated series, maybe EU. You know, as long as Chuck Wendig isn't writing it, it should be good. I kid. You know, also, Lucasfilm announced the single-player game coming in 2019, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. You'll be playing as a Padawan who survives Order 66 and is being hunted. Wicked. Cannot wait. No additional information was given out, so let's just say I'm really excited. I hope to see more from that. I bought Battlefront 2. I don't play it that often. I don't like to pay for, you know, online gaming because I don't want to get my ass kicked by a 12-year-old. I know there's some 12-year-old just like wailing me in the head with some gun and I'm dying every time. So I stopped playing that. Hopefully we won't have that with Fallen Order. Maybe it'll be like the old Jedi Knight series where you're kind of playing, swinging a lightsaber and all that stuff. Really cool stuff. I hope that's what it is. Also, I hope everybody got their tickets to Celebration. The 5-day passes are sold out. I think Saturday is very close to selling out if it has not sold out already. I got mine, but none of my friends whom I was supposed to go with did. So I may be solo on this one. If you want to split a room, hit me up. It's looking like I may have the space. I don't know. Hotel is about a mile away from the convention center, so it's right on the subway line. You know, but I'm looking forward to this. You know, I met a ton of great people at the last Celebration, so I can't wait to do it again. And I was threatening my wife with getting a tattoo also. I have no tats. I'm like above that age to where people, I was like in my mid-20s when people started getting them again. There was only like weird bikers and like Navy people that used to get them. And then it switched over to like, you know, it used to be hip to get them. And well, I was never hip, so I didn't have to worry about that. But, you know, I was thinking about, you know, since I got through cancer and everything, maybe get the lymphoma ribbon with two lightsabers type of thing. I don't know. You know, so who knows? Maybe, see if I can get away with it and not piss my wife off. That would be great. Any ideas? Send them to me. Email vagueanduncovincing@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter. The show page is at unvaguepod, or you can contact my personal one, which is at thewim. We're also on Facebook, too, at facebook.com/vagueanduncovincing. As always, we are sponsored by Stephanie's Country Candles. That's hand-poured country candles and more. I've been working on some new scents for the fall. A little autumn, a little harvest, a little Thai spice, maybe. Maybe that's what we got going on. I'm working. I'm still deciding. But we'll have it. Just visit us online, StephanieCountryCandles.com. That's StephanieS, CountryCandles.com. No apostrophe. And I bet you thought I forgot about my top five. Well, I didn't. This week, my top five cover songs. So songs originally recorded by a different group, but the remakes, me, I dig them much more than the original. So number five, I can't stop listening to it. It's actually new. It's by Weezer. It's their cover of Africa. If you listen to it, give it a good listen. It's on iTunes. As are all these. Number four, since I love my 80s hair metal bands, I go with Come On Feel the Noise by Quiet Riot. I know what you're thinking. It's kind of lame, but really, I totally dig it. I thought it was cool when it came out. Number three is Voodoo Child by Stevie Ray Vaughan. Number two, Time After Time by Quiet Riot. And my top cover song is who else but Bare Naked Ladies? That's Lovers in a Dangerous Time. I'll play it at the end of the episode, too. All right, so that's the show for episode 9. I'll try not to drag my feet again and pull something together soon. My wife and I went to New York City. We saw a couple plays on Broadway. We saw Dear Evan Hansen in Chicago, and we're going back in a few months. And, you know, I bought her tickets for her birthday to see Pretty Woman, because that's her flick, and we'll see that on Broadway. Maybe we'll talk about that. But show suggestions, tell me I suck, or email me at vagueanduncommitting@gmail.com. It's Twitter at unvaguepod. My personal one is at the whim, or you can go facebook.com/vagueanduncommitting. Thanks again for listening.
Hours go shorter as the days go by. We never get to stop and open our eyes. 1 minute you're waiting for the sky to fall, and next you're dazzled by the beauty of it all. Time. Lovers in a dangerous time. These fragile bodies of touch and taste. This fragrant skin, this hair like lace. Spirits open to a thrust of grace. Never a breath you can afford to waste. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. Dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. Time. Lovers in a dangerous time.
and we'll talk to you soon.